Welcome to the Enlighten Up Podcast, where I am going to take you into a deep exploration of what it means to exist in this current reality. We are going to raise your vibes, open your mind, expand your heart, and dive deep into the wondrous mysteries and possibilities of this lifetime. There's been a spiritual catalyst that has set in motion the awakening process of many across the globe to return to the knowingness of self and unite what has been separated. Together, we're going to bring light into that darkness. We're going to remember the joy of living. But most of all, we're going to turn up the volume of our own eternal power and do the thing we're here to do. Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Enlighten Up Podcast. I'm really happy to be back here with you in this brand new year with an absolutely brand new guest. Regina Thomas Schauer, also known as Mama Gina, is a teacher and best-selling author, her latest book being Pussy, a Reclamation. She is a mother, a media personality, and founder and CEO of the School of Womanly Arts. I actually had the pleasure of meeting Mama Gina at the Arcadia event held by Aubrey Marcus in November of 2023, and I watched her on stage as she absolutely owned it with all of the pleasure that could absolutely emanate from this woman possible. And so it is with my deepest pleasure to welcome you, Mama Gina, to the show. How are you doing?
I am so good. I'm so happy to be here. I had the best time at Arcadia. I thought that event was incredible, and I'm so glad that we met there. What had you come? Was it your first Arcadia?
It's my first festival ever.
Wow. Oh my goodness. I hope it's the beginning of a long festival life for you.
You know what was a beautiful thing that came out of that event? I used to dance all the time. I was a little clubber growing up in my 20s and like my teens and my 20s. And in my 30s, I started to kind of taper off. And then once I hit my 40s, I just kind of stopped going out and I still love dancing, but I just never, took the time to like actually go to these things. And I had such a good time dancing and just totally moved into this place where with the music and my body moved, I just felt like I was channeling some energy that I hadn't channeled in such a long time, or something that I really usually only tap into when either I'm on like mushrooms or when I'm in a meditation. So it was like really cool.
Oh, that is so good. That is so good. And have you been dancing more?
It's like now become a necessity in my day.
You know what's amazing? It's like no matter what, it's a super stressful time on this planet in our lives. I don't know if I haven't seen, felt, experienced anything like the circumstance in which we are all living in this world with all of the passions that we have for life and humanity and our planet. So here we are, these bodies with all of this stress around us. And I find I cannot move through a day unless I move this body.
Yeah.
So otherwise I will get tightly wound into a little immobile knot. But as soon as I dance, feel all the feels, I'm like, okay, I got this. Just got to connect and turn on this body. And then I got this.
Well, what I love so much about, well, one, obviously I got to sit on the podcast recording that you did with Aubrey, which I don't even think has been released yet. But that was super fun to watch you two and your dynamic and just kind of going back and forth. But also just watching you on stage, what I love the most is that you really just came from this place of fun. You could tell that you enjoyed being up there so much. And it's that vibe that I think so many people are missing in whatever it is that they're doing. It doesn't have to be on stage, but it's just like really showing up and being the star of your life.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. I've been on this journey of both researching and studying pleasure and its impact on the body for probably 30 something years now. And it's still, pleasure is a discipline. It's a practice. It's not something that we're taught like, oh, we have to be really disciplined and work, or disciplined and go to the gym, or disciplined and study. But pleasure is a discipline. If you don't practice it, it's not like there's going to be some free-falling pleasure fairy that's going to bonk you on the head after a hard day's work and says, here, Nicole, here's your little glass of champagne and some confetti, and we've prepared a hot bath for you. We're going to escort you into the hot bath, and we're going to have some beautiful music playing. No, like, I mean, you got to set all that shit up for yourself, or it's not going to happen.
You have to choose it.
Yeah. Choose it and do it. You know,
choose it and do it.
Yeah.
Well, what I love so much about this is over the last year or so, really kind of tapped into that pleasure principle and recognized how connected it is to the goddess frequency, and yeah, how essential, I mean, crucial it is to not just enjoying life, which seems very obvious to people, but I mean to creating everything and having the movement of your life form in such a rapid way that it's you almost can't even believe that it's happening before your very eyes, because it's, I don't want to say it's so easy, but it does feel effortless when you are in utilizing that pleasure principle, because you're not in your head anymore. You're in your body.
You're in the zone. And when you're in the zone, life is sweet in the zone. And then when you're out of the zone, you're like, how the fuck did I ever get in the zone? Where's the zone? I've lost the zone. I'll do anything to get back in the zone. You can't get back in the zone, you know, until you have embedded in your body enough discipline of pleasure. And then you recognize like, oh, banging my head against the wall, torturing myself, criticizing myself will never get me back to connection with my God, goddess, my divinity, my beauty, my pleasure, my turn on. And that's when you just got to go for some really hot, sexy, delicious pleasure.
Yeah. Well, and I want to make this clear for my audience, for all the men out there, your feminine energy is absolutely attached to this pleasure principle. So this is for men and women, but take me through first, before we get into your story, because I definitely want my audience to hear a little bit about your journey and how you got to where you are. Mm-hmm. But disconnecting from that pleasure center, the pleasure principle of life, you know, how do we get there?
Like, how do you do it?
Yeah, like how does it happen? Like what are some of the main things that people are usually finding themselves in, I'm sure, repeating over and over, that really detach them from pleasure?
Yeah. I think, you know, I was just having this discussion with somebody who I just came back from about a month of travel. Sorry about my doggy. Of travel in Europe. And what I found there was people are not as attached to work. Like, there's a lot of celebration of food, of connection time, of, you know, going out to a cafe for a coffee, meeting a friend. There's like more connection to the joys, the luxuries of being a human being. And at least in the United States, predominantly, we are encouraged to work so much, so hard. And the thing, you know, if you go to a party, people always want to know, oh, what do you do? What do you do? That's how we slice and dice our life. What do we do? Not who we are, or what pleasure did you take today? Mm-hmm. What joy did you pour into your life today? Where are your passions? What lights you up? What ignites you? And so knowing that, right, that the culture is not going to acknowledge you, the, you know, your friends are similarly kind of influenced by the patriarchal world culture, which celebrates our productivity versus our ability to receive and, you know, pleasure and to receive joy. So it's, you almost have to be like a guerrilla pleasure warrior. You must be like, okay, I'm going to go out in this patriarchy today. Everyone's going to be working really hard and they're going to want to know how hard I'm working, but I am going to plan some little islands of joy, little islands of pleasure. So for example, for me this morning, I started my morning with my coffee, which is, it's a must. It's a non-negotiable. And then sitting on this beautiful purple couch with my journal and a candle and like journaling for 20 minutes. Then I did my stretching, a little workout, a little warm up. Nothing's too heavy, maybe 20, 30 minutes. Then boom, into the infrared sauna for 20 minutes. You can, these small ones that you can fit into a New York City apartment. And then I took a bath.
Oh,
and in my little workout was three songs I've moved my body to or danced to. So I already poured a whole bunch of pleasure in before I hit my first meeting at 10 o'clock. But that's not enough. Like, it also has to be like little things throughout the day. It doesn't have to be big things.
Yeah.
It could be things like having your chai tea in your favorite mug instead of, you know, a chipped mug or something. It could be little things like self-pleasure in the middle of your afternoon. It could be checking in with a friend. It could be taking a walk. Like, you know, you heard my little barking pooch, but she gets me outside three times a day. So I could like change my scenery and experience another side of life through her. So it's like knowing who you are and knowing what'll raise your orbit. And that's a worthy journey that we don't normally take as human beings. And especially women, we really resist pleasure. So
yes. So, I mean, the feminine energy has definitely been suppressed in all of us, men and women. I mean, intuition is denied a lot, or trained to just be a little more logical, to think of things very linear, to think that, you know, chaos is a bad thing when really genius can be birthed through chaos at times. Mm-hmm. And so kind of going back and understanding that when we have lack of pleasure, it really does dim our light. It does make us live smaller.
It makes you downright cranky, girl.
Yeah, it does. It makes you really cranky.
So irritable, so cranky. And then you bring that cranky to wherever you go and whatever you're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want to be a cranky mom, have no pleasure. If you want to be a cranky partner, lover, yeah, just wipe out your pleasure scale and hope that other people will provide it for you. Never will happen. You know, it's just, if you want to be a cranky coworker, and how many people do you know? I mean, sitting here, Nicole, don't you have your handful of cranky friends? Always no. Anytime you call them, you're going to be like with the eye roll. Oh no, she's in a bad mood again. He's in a bad mood again. Oh no. Like you can really tell the difference.
Yeah. Choosing not to see the joy, choosing not to feel the joy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think that's why we have free will, because we can choose to be grateful and find the sacredness right here, right now.
Yeah.
Or not.
And I know how important the pleasure principle is in creating the life that you've always dreamed of, you know, and living it to its fullest potential. You obviously haven't always been in this place. You didn't start at the top, so to speak, of the pleasure principle. So how did you even discover that pleasure was even a factor, or it was missing, and that you could actually utilize it?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I, you know, as I answer it, I just really want to speak into anyone else whose life right now feels really stuck. You feel disappointed, you feel like heartbroken, you feel other people are doing better than you or further ahead than you on the path of life, or you feel in some way disenfranchised or filled with self-doubt or disapproval, because that is a perfectly beautiful way to begin an adventure. That, and we all hit moments like that, and we will hit those moments again. You know, people call me the pleasure queen or the pleasure princess or whatever. Yeah, you should see me. There are certain days where there's no pleasure. You know, I am so up my own ass. Fortunately, I'm just getting more skilled at pulling my own head out of my ass. More practice over the years. I wanted to say that really this, my school and all the work that I do started, it was really a spiritual journey for me. When I was a little kid, I came from a family that had abuse patternings, like so many of us do. Mm-hmm. And I didn't realize that because it was home. And so I had a lot of longing inside, or a lot of sadness. And when I was about five, when I would go to sleep at night, the goddess would come and she would sit on my bed, like right by my pillow. And I could feel this beautiful presence. It was like magical, delicious, alive. I almost felt like warm butterscotch and radiance. But when I would turn to look at her, she would disappear. And so I got that the goddess exists, but she's in the periphery. And you got to find her, Regina, because she's out there somewhere. Because I knew that there, you know, was no goddess in my synagogue, because I grew up Jewish. And so I thought, well, I'll look for her. And so I went, I had all my friends take me to all their churches and all their temples and God knows, looking for where is the divine feminine? Where is she? And I could never find her. And I went to Catholic churches, Baha'i temples, mosques, like looking. And there was no, you know, most of the religious symbology and the great religions of our age are all, it's Abraham, it's Moses, it's Muhammad, it's Yahweh, it's Buddha, male dominated.
Yes, yes.
So I was just a seeker, and I wanted, my quest was to find where was the divine feminine and why wasn't she celebrated as much as the divine masculine. And so over the years, I came to New York to be an actor, but I just had no confidence. I didn't realize the toll my early childhood experiences took. I had so much self-doubt, so much self-hatred. I was just really, I got completely sidelined because of all of my self-doubt. And I was probably the most invisible, depressed person that you would ever, you know, experience. And what happened was I ended up through taking a class at an acting class. A friend led me to a course given by a school called Moore University. And in taking this course, they had a special exercise where you would go back to your home and prepare as if the most important person in the world was coming to visit. A special drink, some lovely snacks, cleaning up, taking a bath, arranging everything, putting on music, addressing all of your five senses. I'd never done anything like this in my life. The only time I put out the good china was when guests were coming. The only time I was always taught that my role was to take care of other people, not to pay attention to my pleasures. So it was like totally brand new experience for me. And while I was preparing, I could feel time and space shift as I began to pay attention to my own pleasure. It was like, suddenly everything felt alive in a way that I had not experienced probably since I was a little kid. And when I looked at myself in the mirror, because there was a part of the exercise that you were invited to do that. And I had this beautiful music and the candles. I had just gotten out of the bath. I was feeling exquisite when I looked in the mirror and I made eye contact with myself. I saw the goddess. And I was like, holy shit, she's lived in me. And I never knew. My whole life, I was looking for the goddess everywhere, and she's been alive inside of me my entire life. This is unbelievable. And as soon as that happened, I realized, oh shit, she's alive in every single woman. And women don't know this. They don't know that they are divine, just like I didn't know that I was divine. So that was a real precipice that I arrived at in the most wonderful way. And it changed the course of my life instantly because I completely dropped everything that I had been doing. And that ended up pouring myself headlong into the study of pleasure, the study of sensuality, the study of orgasm. Mm. And my life was forever changed because I thought, whoa, if it's pleasure that opens the portal of the goddess, of my own divinity, I want to learn every single thing that I can learn about pleasure. And that's how my journey, it was before pleasure and then after pleasure. And my life that had been so shrunk, so small, so miserable, that blew open the doors to really have, you know, my life is, I never could have imagined that I would even be on this podcast like all those years ago. So please, if you are at a place where you're stuck and listening to this podcast, know that pleasure is a worthy pathway to research, to investigate, to spend time and attention pursuing, because it will open worlds for you, worlds that you want to open because your voice is so valuable, and pleasure will unlock your confidence and your power in a way that nothing else does.
Pleasure is a portal. I love that you use that word because it really does open doors where they are closed. Yes. It does bring in movement where there is stagnation. And it's like time does move faster, is at least how we experience it, when we're having fun. And it's because I believe that the pleasure is really our divine birthright. That's how we were intended to live. Like, I think that's our natural state of being. And so this pleasure portal that you opened and you connected with, and you're like, oh my goodness, it's almost like I kind of get this vision of you, instead of like looking through the looking glass, you're looking into this pleasure portal of just infinite possibilities and creative energy flowing through.
Well, if you think about it, whenever you have a pleasurable experience, which could be, you know, a great sex with your partner, or with a lover, it could be an amazing sunrise or sunset. It could be, you know, tickling your kid on the floor and having a giggle festival. You know, anytime you have a pleasurable experience, it turns on all your neurotransmitters, including beta endorphin, prolactin, serotonin, like, and floods your body with all of these pleasure hormones. So it's almost like you're bathing yourself in a sensation of health, well-being, deliciousness that you are in control of. Like, each of us are in control of how much pleasure we take, even though we like to say, no, it's my job, it's my boss, it's my family, you know, all the things that we can blame for not having pleasure.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's interesting because I think back to 2014. Yeah. And it was about, I think it was October 2014. And I was living paycheck to paycheck. Didn't matter how much more money I made. It was just always seemed to be going out the window. Okay. And I just felt like I was in constant survival mode. And I wasn't enjoying life. I was just going through the motions. And I was given an exercise through it was a channeled message that came through. I kind of booked this channeled session. And the message to me was, if I wanted to start having the life that I had kept envisioning for myself, to every day for the next 9 months and 12 days, to stand in front of the mirror for 32 minutes a day, naked, and lovingly and appreciatively caress and stroke every square inch of my body without having one judgmental thought. And I had to repeat this mantra at every 5 minute interval. And if I had one judgmental thought, I had to start all the way back at zero time and start the 32 minutes over again. And if I missed a day in that 9 months and 12 days, no matter if it was the 9 month and 10th day, I had to start all over again from day zero.
How long did it take you to get through?
It took me 16 and a half months.
Wow.
But I was so committed. I was like, if there's that saying, you know, if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, but expect a different result, like it's just not going to happen. You have to change in order for your reality to change. And I was really like, I've got to start doing something different. And it was really kind of in the deeper parts, in the earlier parts of my self-love journey, and really learning to value myself and love myself. And I'll tell you, within the first month, my financial situation shifted.
Whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah, I had a huge boost in clients in my business. Everything was like really starting to take off. It was just happening out of nowhere. No advertising, no nothing. It was just coming in. But the real beautiful thing was, at around the 7 month mark, after I had started again twice, I noticed that I was seeing myself differently. I remember one distinct day, I was looking at myself in the mirror as I was doing it, and I noticed I looked different to myself.
Wow.
I saw more beauty.
Wow.
And I just saw someone I really liked, whereas before I wasn't sure I liked her.
Wow, that's great. That's great. You know, first of all, I'm so proud of you for doing that. What a bold move. It's so fantastic. And there are lots of little things you can kind of insert in your day that don't take nearly as
yeah.
that can produce the same result. So for all of your listeners, you do not need 16 months of 32 minutes a day of total approval. You can do it with like little teeny tiny things throughout the day, like something that I do with my friends almost daily is brag. And I teach bragging in every single class. I don't think I didn't teach it at Arcadia. We did something else, but bragging is so phenomenal because women, we don't brag about ourselves. Guys are more likely to do that than women are. When you get a woman bragging about how fabulous she is or how amazing she is or something wonderful that she's celebrating about herself, it not only takes her higher, but it takes you higher. And it's so much fun. So give me a brag right now about you.
Oh, a brag about me?
Yeah.
Oh gosh. Wow. Way to put me on the spot, Mama Gina. Yeah. I love it. Well, I will say that I am really recognizing what an incredible gift I have for holding space for people to Ooh. Allow them to facilitate their own healing journey.
Wow. And
I am now witnessing miracles, literal miracles happen in people's healing journey through being part of the process of holding space for them. And
do you do that? In a one-on-one setting?
But one-on-one and in groups.
Wow. That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah. And I think I've diminished myself in that area. I think there's a part of me that's always known it, but never really allowed myself to truly embrace it. and love it and nourish it and nurture it and bring it up like this with you in the show. And I think really, it was something I recognized at my retreat a few months ago that I held. And so, yeah, so I'm starting to really see the power behind my desire to hold that space and nurture and love people through their healing journey.
Amazing, amazing, amazing. It feels so good to hear you kind of sink into your special gift and honor it and celebrate it. And let's see, I'm going to brag now, and I'm going to brag not about work, but I'm going to brag about, okay, this is what I'm going to brag about. I like to have for breakfast, this thing, which is like a blended drink of celery, cucumber, lemon, avocado, spinach. And so I got home really late last night, but it was before Whole Foods closed. So I was like, all right, I could just go home, walk the dog, go to bed, or I could go home, get the dog, sneak her into Whole Foods, pick up all of my greens so that I'm going to have it there in the morning. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. I'm just going to hit it. I'm going to go Whole Foods tonight. I'm going to get all the ingredients. And that's what I did. And then I made my little thing this morning and I felt so pampered and so taken care of because I stood for myself.
Oh, I love that. I love that because sometimes we won't really see that we're worth the effort, you know, like we're worth the effort to like go to the grocery store at night and not just wait until the morning. Then you have to like, it's not there for you, you know? And it's just like, sometimes I've even like sat on the plane and tried to hold my bladder. Cause I'm like, oh, I'll just wait until like, so I don't bother anyone else. It's like, no, I don't deserve to sit uncomfortably on this plane. I'm going to go use the bathroom.
Yeah. Example. That is a great example, especially when you're in the window seat.
Yeah. Which I love the window seat. Yeah.
Really, really good example.
Okay. So I want to talk about this erotic awakening.
Yeah.
What was it for you? Was there like a defining moment or at least even a launch moment for you in that erotic awakening? And what is the erotic awakening all about?
Yeah. Okay. First of all, I just never really thought that much about sex or sensuality. Like and it wasn't really a part of my life in an active way, you know, because I was just so caught up in all of the hurts and wounding from my childhood, really all the way through my 20s. But once I had this experience of awakening and realizing like, whoa, even a tiny amount of pleasure is changing me. I can see my divinity. I feel the time-space continuum shift and expand. I need to pursue pleasure. So I actually moved into a sex commune because when I want to learn something, I just go all the way.
Okay.
Sex commune, which was really a crazy thing to do, because I was living the life of like a little alone hermit, and then suddenly I'm in a sex commune. But the reason I wanted to move in is because they had like the most incredible courses and programs, and purpose of the school, Morehouse, Lafayette Morehouse, was to study female orgasm. And when I met these teachers, I thought, oh shit, these women know something I don't know. Yeah. They have an experience of their own womanhood, which is giving them such a sense of quiet, confidence, power, sensuality. And I want to be like that. I don't want to be like a little frozen zombie thinking everyone else is having better sex than me or a better life than me. I want to learn. And so I took a class with them called The Expansion of Sexual Potential, which was several weeks long. But then I kept failing my graduation because I was so nervous and filled with doubt. So that I actually had to stay at the school for months and months and months until I finally graduated, which was the best experience that I've ever had. And I lived in that commune for almost 5 years.
Oh, wow.
But here they were. The beautiful thing about it was I started to learn that sensuality and orgasm was separate from love and relationship. Like, it's a thing you can get good at. Like, you can get good at playing the piano. You know, you can get good at learning French if you really study mm-hmm. that language. You can become skilled at a thing. And in the way we live is usually our sex lives are tied to our relationship lives. So, for example, you have to have a partner to have sex, or a series of lovers to have sex, or a solo practice to expand your sensuality. And I wanted to learn everything I could about my orgasm and my orgasmic potential separately from my life in relationships. And that was so liberating because I learned how to own my orgasm. I studied it. I would take classes every day. There was a whole sensuality department, and you would have each class was you would have three teachers. Usually two. A man and a woman would hold space for the session for you, and there you'd go. And there was a way for me to connect with my body and learn about how to extend and expand my orgasmic experience so that I became confident. I know this body. And then when I would have a lover or a partner, I would be able to say, this is what I like. This is the kind of pressure I like. This is where I like to be touched. I knew myself. Mm. I knew that, like, for example, on the inside of my arm, I like a really light touch, where I like more heavy pressure on the outside of my arm. I knew how to stimulate and expand my own orgasmic experience, just myself and myself, my ability to self-pleasure expanded so that I could translate all the things I loved and longed for to a partner. And prior to that, when I would have a sensual or sexual experience, I wouldn't know what I wanted. I would never be able to guide somebody. I would think that my partners were all supposed to know. They were supposed to read my mind. And it led to...
It's just like the blind leading the blind, basically. None of us know, right? So we're all supposed... We're just doomed.
Isn't that crazy, right? Yeah. Like, we make people like get a driver's license when they're going to drive a car. But, you know, as we prepare our little ones for adulthood, we give them no information about something that is a significant, maybe one of the most profound and significant aspects of life. Mm-hmm. How do you relate to yourself as a sensual being? And then how do you guide another person to connect with you?
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't just start out good, but gets better and better and better over a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You're not scared of sex. You feel like, oh, I got this. So it's really important to educate ourselves.
No, it is. And, you know, I'll share a little bit of behind the scenes information that I don't think I've ever shared on my podcast. This has been going on for 6 years.
Let's do this.
So one of my earlier boyfriends, who probably was the one who hurt me the most out of all my relationships, but he also gifted me with some things. He taught me how to increase my sexual pleasure because I didn't realize I was doing this. I'm curious if you did this or you know a lot of women. I'm sure this is something common that you've heard or seen, but as soon as I would have my orgasm, it'd be done. Like, no more. And he encouraged me to learn how to have multiple orgasms and just keep going and going and going and experiencing and not feeling the need to shut it off. Like the need, like, okay, it's done now. You know, like, no, you can have more. It doesn't have to end there.
Yeah. Yeah. And how did he teach you?
He wouldn't let me rest. He would not ease up on any sort of stimulation. And it was kind of like, and I understood and I trusted him and we had a great connection. I was like, okay, let's do this, because the boyfriend before him, I had zero pleasure with. I felt like, completely numb to my sexual pleasure. It's like, I almost didn't even feel like a woman anymore. And so it was literally experiencing the polar opposites of that energy. And so what it kind of helped me start to realize is how little I was allowing myself to enjoy something. Like I truncated the experience.
Yeah. Well, it's super, super common. Because women's bodies are physiologically so different from men, right? Men, and if we are heterosexual or bisexual, we generally have experiences with a man, men have this thing called a venous plexus, which is at the base of their cock. When the cock gets hard, the venous tightly knit web of veins, the venous plexus comes together, and then the cock stays hard and engorged with blood until the guy ejaculates. And so there's like a little bit of a tightening and then a thrusting and then the end. I know men have learned to extend and expand their orgasms too, and we'll do that in our next podcast, talk about that. But a woman, if she learns about her orgasm through imitating a male body, which can happen, she thinks that she's supposed to tighten up when she has an orgasm. So, you know, he's stroking her or sucking her or fucking, and she's constricting, and which diminishes blood flow to the area. And then she'll have you could call like a little crotch sneeze, where she goes over the edge, you know, if she's lucky and he's skilled enough. And then sometimes the clit can become so sensitive that you don't want pressure right away because you've been tightening so much. But if a woman, and anyone can do this, she learns how to relax and just like totally like relax that body, like she was a lump of butter melting in the sun or a little sleeping, snapping kitten in the sunshine, where she's relaxed, then when she's stroking herself or she's being stroked or sucked by a partner, then that relaxation, because she doesn't have the venous plexus, it can give rise to an experience of extended and expanded orgasmic experience, or multiple orgasms is another way to say it, which it's not like women are only certain women can have that. No, no, no. It's a woman that learns how to really relax into the sensation, she can extend and expand her experience.
Yeah. And why not? Well, yeah, why not? Best question ever. Why not? And I think, you know, even just when we think about the masculine energy is harder, it's meant to be the container. And the feminine energy is meant to be soft and flowing and all that. So it makes sense that that's how the woman's body should be responding to that.
Yeah. Yep. It's so true. But it's so new, you know, in many of my classes. In fact, I'm about to teach a class next month called The Art of Surrender. And it's a class that both men and women can take. And there's going to be an entire section of the course just dedicated literally to teaching this. Because we really need to learn. You know, does your mom teach you, you know, your dad? Like, highly unlikely. We don't have a lot of training in just how to really receive pleasure. So it's so important to learn. And there's a special part of the clit. Like if you think about your clit as like a little tiny circle, and the top is 12 o'clock, bottom is 6, then 3 and 9. The upper left quadrant of the clit is usually 9 times out of 10, the most sensitive area of the clit. And if you can kind of find that little spot on yourself or teach your partner how to find it, it gets so engorged, soft, like almost like delicious, softens, opens, and you can just have so much incredible ever expanding sensation if you include that little delicious spot in there, worthy of researching. And I always love to encourage people to use a little bit of lube, mm-hmm. because a woman's lubrication, sometimes it's plentiful when she's turned off. Sometimes she can be lubricated and she's turned on. Sometimes she can be turned on and she's not that lubricated. So if you put a little drop of lube in there, it's really delicious.
I completely agree. And I would say too that, you know, because I think a lot of women focus on the clitoral orgasm, but yeah. If you can really go into that relaxation and have the deeper vaginal orgasm, that's like a whole nother ball game. That's just like, if you want to hear the heavens open up and the angels sing, like, that's a whole new thing. And I think like, and you know, whenever I've experienced it, it has been when I've been super relaxed. I'm not thinking about it. I'm not in my head. I'm totally in my body and I'm really letting go. And that surrender is really hard to do for a lot of women because we're taught to be uptight. We really are.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. Women have been we've been taught something that is so wrong and so fucked up about, like, when you grew up, what did you think was your job, like, to attract a man? Like, what was your, you know, to get a guy? Like, what were you supposed to do?
Oh, well, I had to look a certain way. I had to act a certain way. Mm-hmm. And I had to prove my worth.
Yes. Okay. So if you're trying to look a certain way, you're trying to act a certain way, and you're
fucking relaxing about that.
Nothing relaxing. And like the worst part about it, aside from the pure torture that is, you know, because you're always on edge and you're always like, did I get his approval? Did I do it right? Does he like me? Instead of your focus being on, oh, connecting to this interesting, lovely human being that's in front of me and sharing my truth and feeling his and keeping my heart open and connecting to his heart. We weren't taught that. Mm-hmm. We weren't taught. So it's almost like you have to unlearn a lot.
Yeah.
To actually fall deeply in love.
And I think, you know, even when because this is a spiritual podcast, we talk a lot about different spiritual topics. And mm-hmm. I think when it comes to religion and spirituality, there's this idea that you've got to act a certain way to, you know, be respected and be pure and all that stuff. But I believe that this energy of eroticism and pleasure is one of the purest forms of creation.
Yeah, it is the life. It's the seed of life. You know, the turn on, of that sensation of turn on in your body.
Mm-hmm.
You could say it when you are turned on, right? You're radiant. And radiance is, you know, what the paintings of the saints and the virgins, you know, that's the divine connection between the human and the God. So it's the most sacred, it's life force. It's how life gets created through turned on body, connecting with another turned on body. You know, we're all born of orgasm. That is the reason we are here. Somebody somewhere had an orgasm.
You know what I've realized is that when life's not working out the way I want it to, or I'm trying to control it to, it's because I'm no longer turned on by my own life. Like I've completely turned off my life, like from an erotic place, from that pleasurable place. Like it's just dead. It's limp.
Yep. Yeah. I agree with you 1,000%. And you know, it's almost like the world right now, there's so many places in the world where there's violence and war, you know, the struggle to keep alive, that sense of aliveness, that sense of turn on, it's so important because that is what gives meaning, depth, connection to our divinity. And my deepest prayer is that all that's happening in this world is the darkness before the dawn.
Mm-hmm.
There is that the divine feminine is awakening, and it's crucial and it's important for all of us to stay connected to pleasure, even in a world that doesn't encourage that or honor that. It's still our job.
And you know, when it comes to everything that's going on in our world, and I know it can really seem very fucked up in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, the truth is that the darker things become, the more capable it is holding a higher light quotient.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
That's what's happening right now, is that it's preparedness for this beautiful high vibe light quotient to be held here. And so when we have these extremes, it means the opposite extreme can be experienced as well. So it's kind of like, again, some people will just try to coast through it. They're so scared of feeling their pain, but in doing so, they never get to experience that extreme pleasure either, because mm-hmm. they're so similar, the yeah, pleasure and the pain.
It's so true. What's your pleasure practices these days?
So I now every day make myself a ceremonial cacao. I love chocolate. I take my time with it and I sit with it, and there's certain music that I'll listen to. I've gotten into my practice of just going into a brief meditation, breath work. But what usually happens is I start dancing. It's without fail. So before I used to meditate thinking I need to be absolutely still. And now it's like, no, my body wants to move. And it's like all these like rhythmic kind of like, yeah. And it feels like every cell is smiling. And so for me, like that's basically how I'm starting my day. I get up at 4:45 and like do that. I make my cacao, and it's just, and I love it. And I feel so excited for the day. Whenever I'm starting to feel a little bit stuck, or I'm frustrated, or, you know, whatever, something's kind of coming up where the energy just doesn't feel like it's moving in the right direction, I just put on a song I love. And it could be anything from pop to, I don't know, like Nine Inch Nails, like it, whatever it is that is my mood of where I'm at is going to get me moving and dancing. And it's just, I think that's the most important thing, is just like, what's going to get you moving. And I truly feel like dance is one of the greatest things that I've really reconnected with. They say the shaman will say, if your life isn't going to plan, when was the last time you danced?
Mm-hmm.
That is a deep medicine that I don't think we remember.
Listen, we need to do a dance break right now, Nicole. We have to, we can't just lecture everyone. We have to dance with everyone. Do you have Spotify?
Or I do.
Okay, great. You can pick a song, or I can, if you want me to screen share, I got one on the ready.
Oh, okay. Then let you screen share if you've got one on the ready.
I do.
I'm going to make you a co-host so you can then share.
Okay, great.
We're doing this.
Do this. And we're just going to have a little dance break so that we could be the change in the world that we wish to see.
Yes.
All right, here we go. Hear it?
All right. And I got my like jogging pants on.
Buddy, get up and dance with us. Come on, we're gonna practice pleasure together.
Yeah, unless you're driving a car, get up and dance. You can call me queen. 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 I love it. I love it. Yes.
That just took 1 minute, but I feel a lot better.
I loved it. Good song choice, by the way.
Well, thank you.
I love it. Yeah. And it's just like, see, now all my cells are oxygenated. Every cell is feeling sexy and smiling. And, you know, my next manifestation's already knocking at my door.
What's your next manifestation?
Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm planning on making a move, like moving homes, and I'm already envisioning the space that I want and the kind of lighting and all that stuff that's going to make my whole experience of each day better.
What do you mean moving home? Tell me about that.
No, not moving home, moving into a different home.
Ah, ooh. Yeah. Yeah.
So expanding my space and really picking a place that is more in resonance to who I am today. Because who I was when I first moved here is very different.
Yeah.
And yeah. I've expanded. So my place needs to expand.
Okay. I love it. And yeah. All right, this is whenever somebody shares a desire with you, you have to say the following thing.
Okay.
And so shall it be.
And so shall it be.
Or something even better.
Or something even better.
Beyond your wildest dreams.
Beyond your wildest dreams.
And that's how you sprinkle like pixie dust on someone's desire.
That, and you know, and I love that. And that's something I completely agree with you. And that's something I always put in to my manifestation. Even whether it's my thoughts or I'm writing it down, is may I have this or something even better.
That's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Because, you know, you just can't not necessarily conceive of all the great things that are possible for you.
It's interesting, right? Like everything that, you know, all of us have had miraculous experience in our lives and really challenging experience in our lives. But every single, like what the great pussy in the sky has given me is so much more than I could have even cooked up on my own. Like, it's just incredible when you actually like begin to notice all the gifts of life. It's just mind-blowingly gorgeous.
I mean, if we really think for a second, how different this world would be if everyone was experiencing an orgasm at the same time.
Whoa, that's a powerful thought.
That is a super powerful thought. I mean, I know we do all these, you know, meditations. Let's all meditate together at the same time. But what if, you know, we were all experiencing pleasure at such a high level like that? I really wonder how this world would shift.
How this world would shift. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, I'm going to count on you for that, Nicole. That is your next task. After you move into your new space, global orgasm.
Global orgasm meetup. Oh, Mama Gina, it was such a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much. But let my audience know, because you said you've got a course coming up next month. Yeah. Where can they find you and tell them more about it?
Everybody, first of all, follow me on Instagram. I have such fun content on Instagram. It's Mama Gina on Instagram. And my website is mamagenas.com, mamagenas.com. And there'll be a way to sign up. There's, oh my goodness, I'm doing in about 2 weeks, a free Zoom teleclass called Broken by Love, because who hasn't been? And so that thing is coming up really soon. And then I'll be teaching Art of Surrender right after that.
Ooh, okay. Well, I'm going to get your podcast out ahead of a couple others so that people can maybe get in on that. So for everyone who's listening, if you love Mama Gina's energy as much as I do, and I know so many of you probably do, then definitely check out her free class coming up soon. I'm going to leave all the details for you guys in the show notes. And of course, do not forget that the Forbidden Journey retreat that I'm holding in April here in Breckenridge, Colorado is just a few months away. We are already 50% sold out. If you would like to come and experience transformations that were literally miraculous at the last one, then I highly suggest you consider coming. I'd love to see you there. Guys, I love you so much. Have a wonderful day and go have some fun and pleasure yourself. Thanks again for joining me for another show on the Enlighten Up podcast. I love you guys so much for all of your continued support. So remember to raise your vibe, find your tribe, and be open to the infinite possibilities held in the mysteries that surround us all. Thanks again for sharing the show with your family and friends. And if you're new to the show and you need to find out more information about me, please head on over to my website, NicoleFrolick.com, where you can join my newsletter. And please follow me on Instagram, Telegram, and YouTube. Keep your light bright, and I'll see you next week.